All right, good morning. Welcome into the show on this Tuesday. Bill Ryder with you. Double Monday Night Football action left us with some lessons and some ugliness. Tyreek Hill, gruesome injury, season ending. Potentially, he'll be 32 when the next NFL season rolls around. Career altering. We will talk about that. The Jets have yet to find a single victory under their new head coach. I will talk to you about how difficult it is to find the right person at the helm of your NFL team. It does not appear so far that guy is Aaron Glenn. And in the opening that we play every single day, by the way, I'm surprised that no one, because we play that both hours. And in the second hour, we have guests on, often former players. No one has ever asked me on the air, who is the Hall of Famer you're picking on? Huh? Who are you talking about, Ryder? But I also say I'll admit when I'm wrong. I don't want to do this, but I'm gonna give Aaron Rodgers his flowers at the end of the show. I know a few of you are gonna love that. You don't have to slip into the old DMs. It's coming. Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers a lot better than the Jets without Aaron Rodgers. So I'll give him his credit. We'll do NFL power rankings. We have a very serious shades debate that Ryan Hickey, the executive producer, has pushed to the forefront. It involves a photo of me. Maybe I'll tweet it out. I put it on the Insta yesterday, which I never do. I got some judgment thrown my way. Got into some wife-husband issues here, right? 20th wedding anniversary is coming up. Let's dredge up all the stuff. So we'll talk about that. Ty Dunn, who does a great NFL Substack we talk about a lot. I subscribe. I pay for it. You should, too. We'll be on the show in an hour. Buy or sell. Bunch of stuff. Phone number 888-710-4ISN. Ugly football games yesterday. I told you that I didn't think I would know much about the Denver Broncos if they whooped the hapless, burrowless Bengals. They did. I have no overarching take for you on Denver. Yesterday for the Denver Broncos was not an answer to the question, what is this team with Sean Payton and Bo Nix? I don't know. You don't know either. I'm not even sure Sean Payton knows. That was a bad Bengals team. And Jets losing to the Dolphins, but the Dolphins losing their star receiver was ugly every way you slice it. Here's the real takeaway from yesterday. Here is the glaring slap in the face that we got from the ugly Monday Night Football doubleheader. The Cincinnati Bengals are squandering an all-time great in a way that is almost unseen in sports. Burrow's level, and obviously he did not play yesterday. He is injured. He's out till December. Burrow is at one of those levels of one of those all-time great players when they are coupled with even a moderately competent organization who gets the credit they deserve for being able to lift, as the truly great ones do, teams to higher heights. Look, Steph Curry did it in the NBA. The Warriors were a terrible organization before he arrived. And they will be again when he leaves. Peyton Manning did it with the Colts. The former owner of that team was not exactly setting the world on fire as an example of how to run a franchise. LeBron James has done it. We've seen this from the start. Mahomes, I'm not sure, gets the same level of credit, but he obviously enhanced what the Chiefs are about. And you're talking about, in the absence of Joe Burrow, a football team. Here's the difference, and this is not an exaggeration. With Joe Burrow, the Cincinnati Bengals are a Super Bowl contending football team in the most difficult AFC picture this side of the Patriots. Maybe in NFL history, other than trying to go through New England. And maybe it's hard. We've got time to figure that out. With Joe Burrow, these guys have beaten the Chiefs at Arrowhead. They have made a Super Bowl. They also lost to the Chiefs, the next year in the AFC Championship game by a field goal. With Joe Burrow on the field, one guy in a team sport, important position, one guy that is an elite football team. Without Joe Burrow, they're this year's Jets. They're the Panthers. They're a joke. I don't want to hear about Jake Browning. You can't put the entire thing on that guy. Yes, the offense is, what are the words you want me to use? Moribund, Is that the right word? Incompetent, awful, brutal, ugly, disgusting, embarrassing, humiliating, unacceptable. All of it. All of it. This is the first team since the 09 Raiders. Do you remember them? Nobody does. Because they were that bad. This Cincinnati team is the first team since 2009 to gain fewer than 200 yards in three of their four games. They have more penalties than first downs. Over their last two games. So they started 2-0. I told you this wasn't going to last. I told you their season was over. They were never going to be able to keep their head above water until Burrow gets back because they're not a good organization. They're not well run. I'm not even sure they're well coached. Penalties are about coaching, by the way, folks. That's the other thing the greats do. Whether it's a Jordan or it's a Brady or it's a Peyton Manning, they make GMs and coaches look a lot better than they should. So the good ones look amazing, the amazing ones look like all-timers, and the morons look like they're pretty good at their jobs. And that's what Burrow's been doing in Cincinnati. Over the last two games, on what, 22 drives, 14 punts, 3 fumbles, 2 interceptions, 2 field goals, sure, let's get in there, and a touchdown. Listen, they've been outscored 76-13 over that stretch. Listen to this. Without Joe Burrow, you're telling me this is because of Joe Burrow alone? This underscores the squalor in Cincinnati he has waded through to turn it with his Midas touch into a real organization when he's around. In the last two games, just when the Bengals are on offense, so let's pretend the other team's not allowed to have the football, okay? Just, hey, no, you don't get the football. The Bengals have still been outscored 14-13. That should be impossible. And here's the thing. Before you start yelling at your radio, your free Odyssey app, the podcast version of the show, dude, he's a quarterback. You can't win with a quarterback. If the Bills lost Josh Allen, they'd suck. Let me remind you that while you can't win, I don't think, Super Bowls without a very good, probably exceptional quarterback, exceptional quarterbacks, and Joe Burrow's the proof of this, have to have a competent organization to capitalize on their gifts. There are very few talents who can do it without that. And by the way, Burrow's one of the few, and Peyton Manning's one of the few. As much as I like to give him a hard time, he's 100% one of the few. What have the Saints done without Drew Brees? Do not forget that the 2017 Chiefs, the year that Mahomes was a first-round draft pick, sat on the bench, that team won 10 games. Didn't set the world on fire, didn't win a Super Bowl, but that was a competent organization without the quarterback. They had Alex Smith, was a great journeyman, former number one draft pick, good quarterback. They got it done. The 2015 Broncos, here we go back to Peyton Manning, won the Super Bowl the year that Brock Osweiler started 7 games and went 5-2. Is that because Brock Osweiler was a good quarterback? He was not a good quarterback. As the Texans found out, as everybody found out, he wasn't. But it was a good organization that knew how to win to keep things afloat until Manning came back. And Manning wasn't even that good when he returned for the playoffs. He's just a winner. He's just able to go out there and infuse some of that greatness like Burrow does. The 2008 Patriots. Now, they didn't make the playoffs, and this was when Bill Belichick was still coaching, and Jordan Hudson was, how old was Jordan Hudson then? 3? I don't know. That was just I threw the joke in there. 2008, it's not really a joke, Patriots, without Tom Brady, went 11-5 with Matt Castle as the quarterback. Castle was 10-5 in the game. And they didn't make the playoffs. Last 11-win team not to make the postseason. But then remember, Castle went to Kansas City and was a disaster. Scott Pioli, who had been the GM, got hired away from the Patriots and brought his cornerback, was a disaster. Point, you can win, maybe not Super Bowls, you can win, you can be competent if you're a well-run team without that quarterback. Hell, sometimes you can win the whole thing. The Eagles have a Super Bowl to their name with a backup quarterback. The 2022 49ers had 4 quarterbacks who started for them. Remember that Trey Lance guy? Remember that Jimmy G guy? Brock Purdy only played 5 games, came in, led them to the NFC Championship game, got hurt. Josh Johnson tried to close it out, couldn't play. But they still were competent. There is no excuse for the ugliness that is going on in Cincinnati. And so here's the thing. Because those games last night were awful. They sucked. They were bad football games. I'm not going to sit here and break down how the Broncos got it done. No. The Broncos will be tested when they're tested. It wasn't last night. The level of incompetence, the level of play, the lack of fight and hustle from the Bengals, the fact they're not even in these games, keep their head above water until Burrow comes back isn't possible if you can't swim. And these are swimmers in this stupid analogy. What are we doing here? It underscores the ways in which Joe Burrow is one of the great talents in sports. He's one of these rare figures who are good enough to make you exceptional by his mere presence. And he's doing it with a team when he's not around, unlike all the ones that I just noted and a bunch of other examples who are literally the worst team in football without him. I would bet on the Jets to beat this Bengals team at this point. I would bet, not my house, because I like my house. I would bet Ryan's house, though. I don't want Ryan to lose his house. On the Panthers over this Bengals team. You know, we talk about the machinations and the negotiations and the offseason, how cheap they are. Are they going to pay these guys? Are they going to lock them? By the way, they have a ton of talent at receiver, tight end. There is talent on the not a lot, but there are some difference makers. And what, they all stop learning to play football? No, the takeaway from last night is about the guy who wasn't there. Even Jamar Chase said the quiet part out loud last night. Because if you don't fight, if you don't hustle, if the other team wants it more than you do, if you don't have a sense of desperation when your quarterback is gone, forget winning or losing. If you don't come with effort and heart and belief, that is about your organization. That's not about one guy missing.
Just giving up, man. A lot of flags on the field. That comes with being disciplined. Too many flags on the offensive side, too. Just out there, man, you offense got to want it more than the defense does. I think they had, how many possessions did they leave us after the first drive? I think it was like 4 possessions straight, you know what I'm saying, punting. So, like, you know, we got to capitalize.
Look, you can blame Burrow's backup. You can blame Joke Browning if you want to. It's his new name. I'm not going to call him Jake. I'm going to call him Joke Browning. But do you know who put him in that role? Do you know standing around an office and goes, you know what's a good idea if Burrow, our oft-injured quarterback, goes down? You know what would be those guys did. For those of you that don't follow the NFL, which is none of you, but let me just say it. Maybe if you work for the Bengals, you don't follow the NFL. When a quarterback gets hurt, you don't pick a name out of a hat and get whoever's assigned to you. You decide who the backup quarterback is. Just institutionally, in terms of how this team is run, they're a joke. They're a disaster. And we kind of knew that, and we kind of understood. But to see how hapless they have been, how bad they have been, how little fight they put up last night, how anemic and embarrassing the offense has been for the last 2 games, it just reveals in pretty stark ways the remarkable level of greatness in winning in Joe Burrow. Normally, guys that can do what Burrow can do, which is by their mere presence elevate a team multiple levels up, normally it's because they've won Super Bowls. You go, oh man, Andy Reid's a great coach, but could never get over the hump with McNabb, with Alex Smith, won, but just couldn't win the big game. And then with Mahomes, just can't lose the big game, unless it's against Tom Brady. Hard to lose the big game. Okay, cool, great job. And as much as Bill Belichick is a punchline now, and it's easy to make jokes about his girlfriend like I just did, the reality is that he was a great coach at one point. It seemed that has passed him by, but he was a great coach at one point. In 2008, he won a bunch of games, won 11 games in the NFL without Tom Brady. But we know that Tom Brady leveled that team up, leveled that organization up. The Broncos, I'm not sure how well-run they were when Peyton Manning arrived, but whatever, they put together a pretty good team, they had a plan, they went and they got Manning, they won a Super Bowl, they made another one. Most of these examples, I think Drew Brees, and this is my reasons for doubt, severe doubt about Sean Payton. The easy answer, everybody I talked to, Sean Payton's a great coach. How do you know? What has he accomplished without Drew Brees? And I don't want to relitigate this, Saints fans, but New Orleans got screwed out of a potential Super Bowl appearance one of those years on a penalty that wasn't like just the flag got stuck. They basically tackled a receiver. Anyway, you know the play. You know the moment. Burrow is in this class. I think he's in a higher class, or he's on a Brady Mahomes level of winning without having actually done it, almost did it. Because that's how bad the Bengals are. So, yeah, we get about the Bengals and head above water, and they got to find a new quarterback, and who do you get off the street? And does Andrew Luck want to unretire from running Stanford's athletic department? The problem is bigger and deeper than that. And if you're an owner, and you know what you're doing, and they don't in Cincinnati, but this is the revelation that you have this crazy talent on a level that is almost unmatched in the NFL. Maybe Josh Allen, certainly Mahomes. That if you, and by the way, that's a great example. The Bills are a well-run organization. They've done a great job bringing in guys when they have to, moving on from guys when they have to. They stuck with their coach when the going got rough. They have a great quarterback. Josh Allen is the difference maker, but he is a part of an organization that is well run. If you're in Cincinnati, last night's game, the game before that, your hapless reality is you've got to find a way, institutionally, to build at least, you don't have to be great. You don't have to be the seventh best run team in the NFL to win with Burrow, but you got to stop being the Cowboys minus the attention and the interest in Jerry saying Jerry things. Just because you do it quietly doesn't make you any less incompetent than the Cowboys. And the Bengals need to find a way to be not the seventh best run NFL team in football, but how about the 20th? You get there, you win Super Bowls. These guys are a joke. And Burrow's been carrying a much heavier burden than even I understood. Sorry, Joe. Come be a Bear. 888-7... We'll trade Caleb Williams for you. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4ISN. You want to disagree? You want to tell me why I'm wrong? You want to tell me why, you know, poor Joe Browning, they got to rely on this guy? We'll get into it. I do... Look, we're going to talk about the Tyreek Hill injury. Awful, gruesome. But I think in New York with the Jets, with the brutal start Aaron Glenn has had, and if you watch press conferences of guys, and I like to do this with some in New York in particular, you have seen that Glenn is either ill-matched in terms of his personality with New York media, which is common, or over his skis. And it just underscores maybe the biggest challenge in football after finding the right quarterback. And that's finding the right coach. Why it's almost impossible and why the Jets probably got it wrong next year on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
Henry's pickup lines is a... My kid is still doing it, by the way. Here's his latest. He found some girl that he thinks is my 13-year-old who he thinks is hot at his 7th grade school whose parents don't let her buy candy, but she's rich. So he conned her into, I'll buy you this $1 candy and I'll bring it to school and you have to pay me $10. So she agreed. So he bought two with his own money and he went to school and he's like, the first one's for you because you're awesome. And she's like, thanks, Henry. She's like, what about the other one? He goes, that's $10. I still have to do business.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
All right, welcome back into the show. You like the Henry stories, huh? Good morning, Ryan Hickey. How you doing, pal? You good?
Good morning, Bill. I do. I respect his business acumen.
I'm not a queasy person. I can watch any kind of movie, right? I have some friends whose wives don't want to watch violent movies or scary movies or jump scares, all that stuff. I don't faint at the sight of blood. I have broken bones. But I don't like watching other human beings suffer, I guess. I can't watch gruesome injuries. And if they remember the Paul George injury years ago at the Olympics? Never seen it because I missed it live. And so I knew that Tyreek Hill injury yesterday. And if you missed this, he dislocated his knee. He tore a bunch of ligaments, including his ACL. I know that he gave the thumbs up and there was positive. McDaniel said he was in good spirits. I'm not saying career over, but I'm not saying not career over. That is a career-altering injury, especially for a guy, obviously, the burst of speed that he requires. And I didn't watch it again. Did you? It's all over my timeline. I can't look at it. I feel awful for the guy. I don't want to see it ever again.
After ESPN showed the initial replay, and then
I did see that.
Oh, good. That was all I needed to see.
I want you to tell me if I'm being soft here. Look, one of your weaknesses, I'm just going to come at, is that you tell people what they want to hear. I don't want you to tell me what I want to hear. I want you to tell me the truth, okay? Well,
give
you don't do
straight.
That with Penn State. I think, is it weak that I think broadcasters, as just a general principle, should give a warning before they replay a gruesome injury? Hey, we're going to show you this replay. It's going to be pretty hard to look at. A little bit of a warning so I can turn away.
I think
a little weak.
No, because I was gonna. I think
it's weak.
I'll say this. I think it's actually weak that they don't show sometimes the injury.
Like, real? I don't want it to.
Because I think it's just like let people make the decision on their own.
If I can see the leg turn the wrong way, or I can, I don't need that. Look, if a guy goes down, you can't really tell. It's a non-contact injury, and he just crumples to the ground. Sure, fine, okay. ACL goes out or whatever. Hammy. Sure. But if it's going to be bad, I don't want to see it.
And I don't disagree, but I think also it's, you know,
you want to see it. Something wrong with you.
I don't want to. I did not appreciate seeing that knee go in a direction it should not have gone yesterday.
The wrong direction.
It was. Oh, all right. Give me shades of Gordon Hayward.
Yeah. Oh, that's another. Oh, okay. We're moving on. moving on to something else really ugly. And that is, it's really hard to find a successful coach in the NFL, in part because, and this doesn't get talked about enough, coaches are like quarterbacks. They're required. It's hard to figure out, and a good one can be ruined by the wrong circumstances or bad luck. They just can. Can a quarterback be ruined by the wrong coach, the wrong coordinator, the wrong organization? Of course they can be. The same is true for coaches, by the way. You lose the locker room, you lose your own confidence, you underreact, you overreact. In Aaron Glenn's case, you start throwing, not tantrums, but just like his, we got to be better, there's too many penalties, and I'll play one of these in a second. Hey, man, you're the coach. Penalties are kind of on you. That's your thing. That's about how you discipline, about how you create self-control among your players. And the thing is, they got off to this brutal start because they haven't won a game yet. They're 0-4. They lost last night to a hapless Miami team. They barely lost to the Steelers, right? So you start the year and you go, and I fell for this. Okay, yeah, maybe, okay. And then they lost to Buffalo, and it wasn't close, but you just sort of chalk that up as the Bills. Like, all right, it's the Bills. And then I'm trying to remember, they played the Bucs tight, right? They barely lost to Tampa Bay, and we're doing power rankings in a few minutes, about 20. You know, that's obviously this show's power rankings are the standard, right? It's the gold standard, and I don't want to give too much away, but Tampa Bay is a pretty good football team based on the gold standard. And then last night you go and you play a Dolphins team who hadn't won, whose coach is on the hot seat, whose cornerback is having little snipe fest with Cam Newton, but can't really throw the ball effectively, who lost in a gruesome manner. They're obviously their top receiver, and you lose that game. And Aaron Glenn, to me, maybe when he started, he had a chance. This just underscores how hard it is to find the right guy. I'm not sure Ben Johnson's the right guy. I'm still not sure, and he's made a Super Bowl, so he'll have a job. Zach Taylor's the right guy. He had the right quarterback. LaFleur up in Green Bay, I wasn't sure about, and it turned out he is the right dude, but you know how you found out? When Aaron Rodgers left. It's really hard to find the right coach, and it's hard to know sometimes. And Aaron Glenn to me, and I'll just play one of his post-game clips, he just sounds like someone who's lost the string.
Very disappointing. I'm very disappointed. And there's no way you can win any game with 13 penalties and 3 turnovers. It just can't happen. But what we have to do is go back to work.
Yeah, penalties and turnovers are bad. I wonder if maybe the coaching staff should work on that a little bit. Maybe that's a thing that they should address. I don't have a big, deep take for you. I'm going to give Aaron Rodgers his flowers at the end of the show because it's worth noting, and I was wrong on this. I thought I thought the Jets would be better without Rodgers, and I doubted what the Steelers could be. And while the jury's out on the latter, the Jets miss Aaron Rodgers. They are 0-4 without Aaron Rodgers. The coach that basically said, and I celebrated it, get him out of here, no thank you, please fly across the country so we can tell you to your face, we don't want you. That guy's 0-4. And he's talking about penalties and turnovers as if he doesn't control that. He's talking about these things as if it's hail that fell from the sky. Well, when the frogs fell, this is a Magnolia reference, when the frogs fell from the sky, it just really screwed up our game plan. That's fine. If frogs fall from the sky, not on you, Aaron Glenn. Turnovers and penalties, if they keep being a problem, is your problem. It is hard to find the right coach in the National Football League. And like with quarterbacks, there's a huge gamble when you hire somebody. That's why there's so many retreads. People ask, why are there so many retreads? Why does this idiot get a job? Because when you hire a coach who's never been a head coach, you have a huge upside potential. You do. There's a world where he's Sean McVay or he's Dan Campbell. For every one of those guys, there's 5 people that fail and fail badly, and the wheels come off. Speaking of the wheels come off, I'm a little mad at Ryan. Ryan just dove into a marital problem. So I played in a big tennis tournament over the weekend. Nobody cares, whatever. But I did put on Instagram. What, do you get alerts? I never post on Instagram. And I put my photo with my partner out there. And and you were judgy that I play tennis with shades on. And my wife is judging whenever I wear these shades. What's wrong with playing? Why can't I play tennis in shades? What's the issue?
I have an issue of people wearing sunglasses in a sport or position where traditionally you don't wear sunglasses.
Why? What's? I mean, by the way, you're not the first to have brought this up.
I can't explain why. It just bothers me. Like, if I saw a pitcher pitching with sunglasses on, it'd piss me off. Like, I would be embarrassed if I was a hitter if I struck out to a pitcher wearing shades, because pitchers don't wear sunglasses.
I wear these sunglasses. I guess I should. I don't really want to tweet it out, but maybe I'll tweet the photo out for those of you. If you want to see the photo, hit me up at SportsWriter, Sports Reiter. If I get enough movement, I'll do it. I can't. The sun gets in my eyes when I'm serving. I mean, what's the issue with sunglasses? By the way, my wife gets so mad at me. Go to the grocery store. I wear them all over town. It's sunny in L.A.
By the way, the sunglasses on their own are very nice sunglasses. Like, if you're out on the beach, out on the town,
right?
They're great sunglasses. I don't get what's the issue.
What's the issue with playing sports and doing a little? I mean, don't golfers wear sunglasses? I bet if you go back to the Ryder Cup, some of them had sunglasses on.
They did. And that's you can wear sunglasses with golfing. It's like, I don't know. Maybe it's just the fact that you're running around so much and you don't, like, I've never seen a pro tennis player
I wear glasses, Ryan. I don't have perfect vision. So I'm either going to wear the glasses I'm wearing now or sunglasses. What's the difference if I have to wear something to correct my eyesight to compete that it prevents the sun from getting in my eyes? What's the issue? What's wrong with you?
I am just very rigid when it comes to certain things.
Shadesgate.
That's it. If I was a tennis player and I was playing you and I lost, I would be more mad if I lost someone wearing shades than not.
I mean, I will say this. People, I win more than I lose. People do get mad at me or get mad losing me, but it's based on how I look. They do not size me up as an athlete extraordinaire, which I happen to be sometimes.
Like, what if you lost to someone who wore sweatpants? Wouldn't that piss you off?
Dude,
than normal?
In the final of a pretty big Los Angeles tournament, I lost to a French guy who smoked on the changeovers.
Yeah.
It was hard to stick.
More than that.
Oui, oui.
He's getting every ball in the corner.
Oh, my. I was playing so good. Yeah. That guy was so nice. I hated him. He was such a nice person. I hated him so much. He's afterwards, you want to go get the beer? Like, no, man. I don't want to get a beer with you. Goodbye.
So you have the same hatred I do, just directed different areas.
Yeah.
You hate people that are nice and that smoke during tennis. I hate people that wear shades during tennis.
Yeah, you do. All right. What do you hate more if you had to rank them? Gruesome injuries, okay? Aaron Glenn as a head coach, or me wearing shades when I'm competing in a sport?
Ooh, I mean, I'm not rooting for anyone to get hurt.
I understand.
So by saying shades number one, this is not me saying, oh, I love gruesome injuries. Obviously, I hate them.
Right.
But I will say I was triggered by the shades pick more than the gruesome injuries or Aaron Glenn coaching on the sideline.
Wow, that's crazy. Man,
bad guy? Maybe.
What a celebration of awfulness in football. Bengals have one of the worst two-game performances in offensive history in the NFL, I think. And just highlight what they're squandering with Burrow when he's healthy and how amazing he is to have gotten them to some of the heights he's gotten them to. The Tyreek Hill injury, I didn't think the Dolphins or the Jets looked particularly good. It was not an easy football game to watch thank God it became a second screen game. But still, and then the ugliness just moves right on to your love for gruesome injuries and hatred of shades.
Can I bring a positive note, or maybe end on a positive note, if possible?
Give it to me.
If possible. Did you like at least the Dolphins, quote-unquote, rivalry uniforms that they wore? The Dark Waters, I think they're called.
So, here's the thing. I don't like different jerseys or uniforms. I want the traditional thing every single time. When baseball teams do the throwback jerseys, I'm okay with it if they actually wore it in 1962. But if it's just... The answer is no. Did you?
I didn't. I actually didn't hate them. I thought I would. I didn't hate them. But with that said, when you look at the Dolphins throwbacks that they have, the fact that they don't wear those number one all the time, but number two, now wearing other jerseys over those, it is a little infuriating.
Like, I like the old school Bears jerseys a lot.
But the stripes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you like the old school Colts ones? Because those look like they're straight out of the 70s.
With like the Colts horseshoes on the back?
Yeah.
I don't mind them. Okay. They look good. It's hard to find a bad retro uniform. There's not many old school uniforms that look bad. Packers is one, but...
I'm in town in 3 or 4 weeks. I'm in New York. I'm doing the show in New York. And I'm going to wear the shades. I don't even bring them normally. I'm wearing the shades in the studio the whole time.
Lights are bright here in the studio.
Yeah, they are.
So you may need them.
Big city.
Big lights, big city. Big bell.
Future's so bright, I got to wear shades. All right. You like that one?
Haters. I'll be you one. You'll be looking at me in person. You'll block
you
me
are,
out.
You're an easy laugh. I can't be around you. I'm going to think I'm a lot funnier than I am. you're an easy laugh. I have got a fairly controversial power rankings coming up. We're going to drop some power ranking truth after we get a sports flash from Andrew Bogish.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Bill, your Sports Flash is sponsored by Advantage Gold. Defense wins football games. The same could be true when it comes to protecting your retirement. Learn more about Advantage Gold today. Text GOLD to 85545 now and request your free gold investment kit. Visit AdvantageGold.com for terms. Message and data rates may apply. Their first win of the season cost the Dolphins Tyreek Hill. Fresh reports this morning adding torn ligaments, including the ACL, to his dislocated left knee. Hill expected to have surgery later today. When he got hurt, the Dolphins were on their way to a 24-10 lead on the Jets. They only won 27-21, but they still kept Aaron Glenn's team winless.
Listen, my confidence is not going to wane, not one bit. We're not going to waver on the things that we've been talking about, how we got to win games. We just got to do a better job of doing those things. So, yes, it was going to be tough. I understand that. And we're going to continue to work to get this thing turned.
The Jets committed 3 turnovers and 13 penalties last night. The Broncos smothered the Bengals 28-3, and the Minnesota Wild have reportedly signed winger Kirill Kaprizov to an 8-year extension, annual average value north of $16 million, the largest deal in NHL history. I'm Andrew Bogish.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
Buy or sell, you believe at any time in his life, Kawhi Leonard has ever planted a tree.
Sell.
I agree. Buy or sell that if, in fact, this is true, the Clippers have committed against their fellow teams treason.
Buy. On the Infinity Sports Network.
It's a good musical choice. Welcome back into the show. If you're listening to the podcast, I know you can't hear the music. What is playing now live that you are not hearing because Ryan didn't put it on the podcast? Just kidding, not allowed to. What is this song called? I Wear My Sunglasses at Night.
By, do you know?
No.
Corey Hart.
Didn't know that. Didn't know who that was.
Not the baseball player. Different guy. Different Corey Hart.
That I got. Amazing. Speaking of 80s things. My wife had her birthday yesterday, and after the football game, I did not get a lot of sleep. She wanted to watch a family movie late. We watched a late family movie. She chose Son-in-Law. Remember this movie with Pauly Shore? You ever seen this movie?
No, I've not.
1,000% held up. I did not want to watch it, but it was her birthday, so it's okay. Love, whatever you want, babe. By the way, she also doesn't like me calling her babe. Too bad. I've been calling you that for 20 years. I ain't changing.
How was it? Any good?
It was hilarious movie.
So great suggestion. Great time.
Speaking of hilarious, here are some tweets about you. First, Kevin Folatar, how's Hickey doing? I didn't catch the show yesterday, but damn, did he jinx himself on air last Friday. Quote, I could have a horrible weekend. Mets lost, Penn State lost, Colts lost. Yeah, he had a real rough one. We did some content on it. How you doing? You feeling better? You licking your wounds?
I mean, I am here today. I did wake up. Sun's out, so we're getting a little bit better, but not great.
And what else we got? Ty in Boisley says, "Sup, Ryan? Sportswriter's the guy. Oh, I'm the guy. Oh, I read this wrong. Oops. I guess he's coming to me. Sportswriter is the guy in the obstacle course at the company picnic that has brought a full change of clothes and wears his shades as well. I will say this. I am, some would say in an unhealthy way, extraordinarily competitive in everything. I can't play Monopoly for fun. Can't do it. I can't do it.
There's a company pickleball tournament, I think, next month.
I would win that tournament. Oh, win it? Is it when I'm there?
I have to see. Maybe.
I would win that tournament.
Would you want to be partners? Or are you going to bring in a ringer?
I'll play with you, yeah. Is Tiki going to be in it? Is it like WFAN too?
Maybe it's 1010 Wins. Our news station is the one that's putting it together. So I haven't seen a guest list of who's going to be there now.
But. I think I would win that. I think I would stand a really good chance of winning that tournament. Are you good?
I'm pretty good.
All right, send me the details.
Okay. All right. Let's see if we can make it happen.
Let's do NFL Power Rank.
Some will rise, others will fall. Let the ranking begin on Writer Than You's NFL Power Rankings. Number 5.
I'm not even focused. I'm so excited about you and I winning this tournament. My mind went to a complete domination perspective. A lot like the Rams. Like, I'm up with the Rams on there. So, the Rams only lost this year. This is going to be a theme, by the way. Do you want to say it? Do you want to guess? Do you know who it is? Are you ready?
The Philadelphia Eagles.
That's right. That is exactly right. I was not on board. You called this. Credit to you. Sean McVay's the real deal, isn't he? And this is the thing I'm talking about with the Bengals. It's just a well-run football team. It's a well-run organization at the front office level, at the coach level, because that team, to me, that roster, it's very professionally put together. It is not flashy. It is not sexy. Is there anyone on that roster that you would look at and say that guy is one of the best players in football at his position? I wouldn't.
I'd say maybe Puka Nacua, I think, deserves some praise
okay.
for that.
Okay, really?
I think he's rising up to that level.
You think he's a top three player at his position? I do.
This
not.
Year, I think there's a strong argument for it.
Stafford is probably the ninth best quarterback in football, if we did a preseason ranking. All they do is win. Incredibly impressive. I stand corrected. Great football team.
Number four.
I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And there's a lot of really good 3-1 teams that did not make this list. One of them that's not going to be on here, I'm just going to, it is the Chargers. That's a bad enough loss. You get booted all the way off. Would you like to guess, Ryan? I've already given a pretty big clue why I have Tampa Bay at number four. What was the decisive factor in getting them on the list ahead of a bunch of other 3-1 teams?
They lost close to the Eagles? I don't know.
That the only team that they've lost to this year is the Eagles.
Oh.
I also just think if Stafford's the ninth best quarterback in football or in that range, I think probably that makes Baker Mayfield the eighth best quarterback in football. There is a winning mentality to this guy that we've talked about a lot on the show, but it is a part of what makes them just a resolutely good football team week in, week out. They don't lose to the Giants. They don't blow games. They don't lose the games they're not supposed to. They're a less flashy, because of Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin, version, I think, of the Steelers. They're excellent defensively. They're very well coached. They have a very good quarterback. I'm on the Tampa Bay train all the way.
Number three.
So this is where, like, maybe I'm insulting the Chargers a little bit. Give me Detroit. I feel like I have to have a team from the NFC North. I still think that division it's certainly entertaining, and I think there's some really good football teams in there. The Packers, what are they, 2-1-1, but the tie feels like a loss because it's and I know you go on the road, I understand there's an emotional game for Parsons, for Micah Parsons. Brutal outcome, brutal finish. Detroit, and this is a surprise. Again, this is like Bill Ryder was wrong Tuesday. It's fine. I'm happy to admit all the times I was wrong. I did not think that they would be able to maintain the level of excellence that we saw with Ben Johnson and with Aaron Glenn as their offensive and defensive coordinators, respectively, when Johnson went to the Bears and when Glenn went to the Jets. Didn't mean those two guys were going to succeed, and they have not yet. I was wrong. Dan Campbell is the reason that organization has turned itself around. I talked about at the start of the show how the Bengals are this hapless team. You think that if Jared Goff goes down, that the Lions don't fight? They may not win a lot of games. They might struggle, but they're gonna fight in the trenches, and they're gonna have a game plan that's at least as capable of being effective as possible, and they're gonna show heart. And they don't have an injured quarterback, and they are winning games, and they remain as they have been since Campbell arrived, excluding like year one when he won 3 or 4 games. They're one of the best teams in the NFC. Credit to that guy.
Number two.
I almost put the team number one. I actually wrote number one, and I had to cross it off. I've got the Buffalo Bills here. Now, prepare yourselves. Buckle up, Buffalo, and everybody else. What a great expression. Just invented that. Buckle up. I think that's a rejoin. Every time I say it, I think, what a cliche. The Chiefs are coming. The Chiefs are on the move. A couple more wins, and Kansas City is going to be right on this list because they're probably Kansas City. They're probably the best team in the AFC, but it's probably. Right now, I know what the Bills are. Outside of the Chiefs, and we might hit this in a more serious way this week, this is such a window in the AFC for Buffalo. The Bengals don't have Burrow. All these other teams are falling apart. I don't think you're really worried about the Steelers or the Jaguars. The Chargers just showed their utter weakness. I'm not buying Denver. This Buffalo team, outside of their inability to beat the Chiefs, have everything that you need. And they're just, again, they're rolling through an undefeated season, and they're doing what they always do, showcasing that they're one of the elite teams in the National Football League.
Number one.
It's got to be the Eagles, right? This is your team. By the way, have you seen who the Eagles have beaten this year? Can I just remind you? They beat Dallas, who I don't think are very good, but whatever. They've beaten the Chiefs, the Rams, and the Bucks. I mean, that's a... We talk about the Chiefs starting off with a brutal schedule and being 2-2, and how they're still elite. I have not given the Eagles enough love and respect because they could easily be 2-2. I mean, there's a world where they could be the Ravens right now. They could be 1-3. Is Jalen Hurts a top three quarterback? Yes or no? It's a yes or no.
I'm gonna say
it's
no.
It's a no. Yeah.
It's a no.
He's top five though. He's top five.
The difficulty is just like how much do you put like winning versus like how it's done. They don't pass the ball well at all this year.
It's about the winning though. Yeah. And when they need him to make a play, he makes a play.
That is very true.
You take Jalen Hurts and you put him in those NFC Championship games that I'm going to get my Aaron Rodgers shots in even before I praise him. That Aaron Rodgers did not win in his time in Green Bay, and Jalen Hurts, the Packers go to the Super Bowl in every one of those games. That's my hot take of the day. You want to do a couple extras?
Honorable mention.
Give me the Chiefs. Chiefs on the rise. How long, what week do you think I will, erroneously or otherwise, and I don't do anything erroneously, so otherwise, place the Chiefs at number one on this list? It could be no weeks.
Number one.
Yeah, what week do they get on the list? And what week are they number one?
So they play the Jaguars on Monday Night Football next week, followed by they host the Lions. I think 2 weeks from now, we see the Chiefs enter the top five.
Okay.
When they go to number one, let's see. You know what? They play and host the Chargers on December 14th. I think that could be a day in a game where they impress and say, you know what? That's a team. They're going to be number one. I'm going to say December. So whatever we do power rankings after December 16th. 17th, whatever that Sunday or Tuesday is, that's my date.
Their schedule doesn't get any easier. I mean, it's a little easier, but it's not easy going forward. Depends on how you want to assess the Jags, right?
Yep.
What do you make of them? I mean, Detroit's a really good football team. The Raiders aren't very good, so okay, that should be a win. Then they have the Commanders, and then they have Buffalo. Then they go to Denver.
And then you're forgetting the team they play after that. The Colts.
Who's that?
The Colts.
They have Indianapolis has a football
Can
team.
Can I give you a quick piece of trivia?
They have uniforms and everything. Yeah, I love trivia.
There's one team Patrick Mahomes has never beaten in the NFL.
Colts.
In the regular season. The Colts.
What's his record against the Colts?
0-2.
0-2?
0-2.
I'm bad at trivia. If you just asked me that in a vacuum, I would never have gotten it. But since you just put up the Colts and you have this smile on your face, man, you're setting yourself up for a lot of pain. You said that in a real smug way, as if it really says something about the future.
Now, the Colts are 0-1 against Mahomes in the playoffs, but who cares about that, right?
Yeah, the Colts' future is so bright, they shouldn't be wearing shades, actually. It's not that bright. I lied. It's not bright at all. You know what is bright? And who is bright? Ty Dunn. He's going to talk to NFL with us next year on Rider Than You.
You're listening to the Rider Than You podcast.
All right, good morning. What's up? Welcome into the show. Happy Tuesday. Look, Tuesdays are hard. We know they are. It's not quite hump day, but you're not really that far past Monday. We have a few solutions, and one of them is just listen to Ty Dunn talk about football because that guy is awesome. Our friend, our colleague, founder of GoLongTD.com, host of the Go Long podcast, author of The Blood and Guts, How Tight Ends Save Football. He wrote a remarkable piece of journalism about the Bears called House of Dysfunction. I think that describes pretty accurately what was in the story. You should read it. I did. I read every painful word. And Ty Dunn, it's interesting. Last night, I was thinking, I got to get Ty on the show. I miss talking to Ty. And my producer, Ryan Hickey, through his sadness about the Colts and about Penn State, somehow intuited this, and here you are, and I love that. Good morning. How are you doing, pal?
I'm doing fantastic. And you know what's crazy? I was thinking the same thing. Here we are at the quarter pole. I need Bill Ryder in my life. It's been way too long. So let's get after it, man. Enough of the pleasantries.
Let me start with a question you're never going to be asked ever again, because this has come up on the show. How do you feel about people wearing sunglasses in competitive sports? We have a disagreement here. I wear them and when I play tennis, and I used to wear them when I played basketball. My producer thinks it's a weak move. You can tell me the truth, though. You tell me, is it not okay? Am I breaking some guy rule?
I think that it's a tough question. I think that there could be an air of intimidation, right? You're wearing the sunglasses. You're making a statement. You're comfortable in your own skin. You're basically guaranteeing success because you can't lose if you're wearing sunglasses in a pickup basketball game, tennis, whatever it is. Like if you lose with those on, man, there's no turning back. Especially if you paid a lot for those sunglasses, right? Like if you paid $100 for those things, they can easily get broken. It's a bold move. It depends on the result, right? I know coaches love to say we're not results based, we're process based. I think this is a results based argument.
Yeah, I mean, look, I can't be the Jets. It is a great point. We had some ugly football last night. Let me ask you this, Ty, because I don't personally have a good read on the Denver Broncos, and I know a lot of people were really high on them, thought that they could or might win that division. I didn't get that answer yesterday. When you look at Denver, last night or otherwise, do you have a strong sense of how far you think they can go, how high their ceiling is this year?
Ooh, I like starting with the Denver Broncos because I feel like we should trust Sean Payton. It's a long season, man. This thing, we got a long ways to go. I said quarter pole. I mean, with that extra game, we're not even technically kind of there yet. But I trust Super Bowl winning coaches who handpick their own quarterback, right? I mean, it's not like Sean Payton already went through the hard stuff. He already inherited another quarterback, clashed with Russell Wilson, still somehow won some games when, you know, the house is burning down. I mean, they stayed in that playoff hunt for a while, and he wanted Bo Nix. He sees Drew Brees, light Drew Brees 2.0, something to mold and create. And I think that, yeah, it hasn't been pretty, you know, for the Denver Broncos early on. But I think even against the Cincinnati Bengals team that is, oh, my God, I did not see this coming. I didn't think it'd get this bad post-Joe Burrow. But even in a game like that, I think you can be encouraged because it's a confident quarterback who made a mistake, immediately bounced back, immediately goes right down the field. He's athletic. He processes so dang quickly. Like, that's what you hear again and again and again with Bo Nix is he plays so much football in college. And then if there's a lesson to take, you know, from all of the recent quarterbacks, throw Anthony Richardson in there, who barely played in college. There's such an upside to, you know, playing 40, 50 games. However many of these guys are playing, Penix, same deal. There's so much he's already seen, and now he's got one of the best quarterback coaches in his ear, literally 60 plays a game, and they've got a pretty good supporting cast. I think that Denver's offense will be just fine, and we already know that the defense is solid. So, yeah, I think this is a contender by December. You know, it's they know to play the long game with this coach.
Ty Dunn hanging out here on the show. All right, Ty, so you brought up Joe Burrow. Obviously, it's been a hapless offensive series of offensive performances from the Bengals the last couple games. When Joe Burrow is healthy, the Bengals are basically the AFC version of what? The Niners the last 5 years. And when he's not healthy, they're the Panthers the last several years. Are you willing to draw any conclusions about, does that elevate Burrow to a level of greatness in your eye, minus the rings, or am I just oversimplifying it when I look at this team and I think when Joe Burrow's there, they're a competitor, and when he's not, they are so hapless, it's hard to watch.
Right. In this business, we love to remind everybody when we're right, you know, and you do a nice job of puffing me up here, you know, when it comes to Jordan Love and Jared Goff and, you know, stances I've taken over the years. I was dead wrong about the Cincinnati Bengals. At least it seems that way. Two games in, I really believed in everything infrastructure-wise offensively. Zach Taylor, I mean, Dan Pitcher as offensive coordinator. I did a feature on him over the offseason. Just he's a genius. I mean, the guy is so smart, and his rise is so fascinating. And I like Jake Browning. I mean, the last time he was in there, they went 4-3 late in the season on the fly, you know, changing their offense, quicker trigger, led the NFL in completion percentage. They took the Chiefs to the limit at Arrowhead. They almost made the playoffs with Jake Browning 2 years ago. So I'm thinking, man, now he's been there for a while. He's been with these coaches. They've got Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, Mike Gesicki. I really thought they'd find a way to go 6-4 and kind of stay in this playoff hunt for when Joe Burrow could maybe miraculously return and lead a Super Bowl run. And instead, they have completely just bottomed out. It is unwatchable. I think that the greater point here is everything around the quarterback position has gotten so bad so fast in Cincinnati that even if Joe Burrow is out there, he's one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. Don't get me wrong, but I don't know if they would have contended for a Super Bowl, you know, even if he's out there with what we've seen the last couple of weeks. Defensively, they're so young. They've got Al Golden, and they're better, but, you know, there's going to be growing pains there, and the offensive line isn't very good. They're so out of sync in so many ways that it's just such a bummer, because I've loved this team for so long. They've been so fun, but they haven't really transitioned, you know, well. When those defensive players got older and they had to pay their receivers, everything has kind of been wrong. They've waited on contracts. They haven't drafted well, and this is what you get. You get blown out by Denver on a primetime spot.
Talking to the outstanding Ty Dunn. Here's what you should do, right, because newspapers are kind of going away, and if you want good work, we have to help fund it. Go, my suggestion, not my requirement, of course, go over to golongtd.com and just subscribe. Give Ty a little bit. It's basically a latte. Actually, it is a latte because they're so expensive these days. It's a latte every month for some of the best NFL journalism that is out there. It's golongtd.com, or go over to X, Twitter, at Ty Dunn. Ty, when you look at the Chiefs and the Ravens, do you feel comfortable from the outcome of that game and what you saw and what you've seen so far drawing any stark conclusions about what a Week 4 game means 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks ago from now for either of these teams?
Right. I never understood the sirens when it comes to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. We've been here, man. Like, we've seen it. We've seen them play patty cake through September and kind of play possum and figure themselves out. They are the peak San Antonio Spurs with Popovich, peak Warriors when they had Steph Curry. Like, they know what matters most. What matters most is peaking in December. And, hey, if you're hosting playoff games, all the better. But I never was really that concerned early on because, Xavier Worthy was going to be a major part of this offense. I mean, they kind of game plan so much around his unique skill set and the way he came on late last season. And I think that when he got hurt against the Chargers, one player getting hurt shouldn't completely throw a wrench into everything, but it was pretty close to that for what they had planned for him. So knowing that he would come back, knowing that Rashee Rice is going to come back, knowing that, Simmons at left tackle, that he's going to get better as the season progresses. And just as a rule of thumb, the Chiefs get better as September flips to October, November, December. I guess I didn't understand the hysteria. It's like they are the villain in the Halloween movie. They are Jason. They will come and kill you eventually. That's just what they do in the AFC anyways. So, the fact that they blew out the Ravens wasn't a surprise. They'll be right there like they always are. And I think the Ravens, it's a difficult read because the AFC North, I guess the Steelers are 3-1. You are what your record says you are. It hasn't been pretty, though. They easily could be 1-3. So I think that they'll kind of, regress to the mean. We talked about Cincinnati. The Browns, their defense is great, but offensively they are challenged, to put it mildly. Even with all the injuries, Roquan Smith, Marlon Humphrey, Nate Wiggins, and now their star D-tackle Madubuike is out for the season with the neck injury. Even with all of that, I don't know, man. I feel like they still make the playoffs. They can rebound because of Lamar. He's just too talented to not have this team in the AFC North hunt over the course of the season. So, big-time issues. They can't stop a nosebleed right now. They're going to have to win shootouts. But I think they probably do win more shootouts than they lose.
Ty, I've been waiting for a long time for Trevor Lawrence to be great, and or for the Jaguars to be a competitive football team consistently. They're 2-1. I'm not trying to get carried away here, but are anything you see in Jacksonville that makes you think maybe in a really sort of confusing AFC this year, or at least an AFC that doesn't look the way that we thought it would, that they can be a playoff team, that they can be a legit threat? Or the Colts, I guess I should give them some love too.
All right. I think we're going to find out when it comes to Jacksonville very, very soon here. They've got the Chiefs Monday night next, and then they've got a tough Seattle team, and then they've got a tough Rams team. Now, all those games are at home, which is kind of a quirk to this schedule, right? Like, they're 3-1, and now you have three straight home games, but they're against three playoff teams in their minds. So we're going to find out in a hurry if Jacksonville is for real
or not. It's been ugly, right? You've got Liam Cohen and Trevor Lawrence going at it back and forth. Right. You got Liam Cohen and Robert Saleh. I mean, if they weren't separated, they're throwing down on the field. I mean, they wanted a piece of each other. And I like Liam Cohen a lot. I don't know if you want to mess with Robert Saleh. He strikes me as somebody that gets you in a headlock and brings you down to the turf. He looks like a very strong individual. It's ugly. It hasn't been great. Travis Hunter, Brian Thomas Jr., they haven't really turned it on quite yet. But I think that's probably what would have you encouraged if you're the Jags, is you're not fully formed at all, and you're still figuring out a way to win games. I mean, the defense has been really, really good, and it's been really bad for a long time. So you're doing something right over there. And I think offensively, I don't know. I mean, maybe Travis Hunter, his speed doesn't translate to the NFL. I still saw something special at Colorado. I feel like he's somebody that has another gear to him. If he figures it out, if they can figure out a way to get the best out of him and not spread him so thin all over the field, he's somebody that can help you win these games. It's a gauntlet. I guess I'm kind of hedging here, because it also wouldn't surprise me if they just lost to the Chiefs and the Seahawks and the Rams, and boom, now you're looking at a 3-4 football team. That's what we've seen from the Jags years past. But you've got some smart people running that organization right now.
When Robert Saleh on the hot mic was caught saying, "I will bleep your world up," I believed him. I was like, "You need to run the other direction, dude." He is not. Those words are true. That is. Some people say those words, and they're just words. It's more than words from that gentleman. Run, Liam, run the other way. All right, Ty Dunn. I wish I could do this for 2 hours, but I can't, because I don't have a show this long enough, and you have things to do. So here's the last one. The Eagles, on the one hand, are 4-0. Depending on sort of your view of Dallas, they've got either 3 or like maybe 4, if you want to be generous, really good wins, right? They've had a tough schedule. They have not lost. The offense has been really inconsistent. They've played with their food a little bit, but they've won those games. What's your assessment of Philly so far this year?
I think the problems are real. It is similar to, you know, contenders past. I guess it still applies here, too. Like, we're talking about the Chiefs, where, you know, it's not perfect early in the season, but they get the end goal of the Super Bowl. They know what you have to look like at that point of the year, and we've seen it in Philly too. I mean, they've gone up and down, and they're figuring out a way to win, though. And there is something to be said for that. I think, yeah, A.J. Brown putting out the cryptic tweets and reading books on the sideline and all of that, it's real. Like, he's not happy. The passing game is shot, it seems, and Saquon Barkley is averaging less than 3 yards a carry. Those are real problems. Don't get me wrong, but man, there's got to be an art to figuring out how to win, and they just figure it out. Like, they take Tampa's best shot. They get the turnover when they need to on Baker. The week before, the blocked kick. The week before that, they Mabuka. I mean, he makes all those plays against the Chiefs. I feel like there is something to be said for having a veteran team late in the fourth quarter doesn't get nervous, that doesn't get anxiety, that doesn't freak out, and they make the plays when they absolutely have to make the plays. I mean, you saw it in the Packers-Cowboys game, right? The Packers, for the third straight year, they're the youngest team in the NFL, and they're still struggling to figure out how to win these games at the end when you're playing a team you absolutely should beat. I don't think it's some nebulous conversation. Like, there is a gene there. There is something inside of these guys that have been in these big-time moments. They rise up when they got to rise up. So, hey, you're 4-0. They shouldn't be ashamed at all.
All right, bonus question, quick answer. I don't want to take up too much of your time. Jalen Hurts is the what best quarterback in the NFL?
15th, you know? I don't know. He's a little better than that. Let's go 10th. He is a two-time Super Bowl participant. He won the Super Bowl. I think that he does need all of this stuff around him to cook, to win. And that's not the case for, you know, the guys you put ahead of him.
Ty Dunn hanging out with us, and we've learned a life lesson today. Don't mess with Robert Saleh. It's like we got all kinds of gems and jewels coming your way. Ty is the founder and the guy behind GoLongTD.com. All kinds of great content, deep dive, long-form writing, often with an investigative, insightful bent. He pulls back the curtain on the actual reality of the NFL. Great videos, podcasts. So just go longtd.com, subscribe for free, and then when you get the little pay link, throw that man some money. Ty Dunn, appreciate you, pal.
Oh, my God. Always appreciate the kind words any day, any time. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, buddy. I love Ty Dunn. I love that guy. I love having that guy on the show. That's really interesting. Jalen Hurts, 15th was his first answer, Ryan. Then he went to 10th. I'd go higher.
I mean, there's a reason, I guess, all offseason there's a big debate of where is he ranked, is he disrespected, right. Ranked high. Yep. Like, he is polarizing, and especially this offense passing-wise stinks. Like,
I know, our guy, Spike Eskin, used to be our boss, if I have this right, thinks he sucks. I'm pretty sure that's his general view. I haven't listened to Spike's show, but...
Blake, you outlined, they're 4-0, they played three playoff teams. Wins. By the way, two of those three wins on the road in KC, in Tampa Bay, like, those are hard games to win.
He wins. He wins.
I'd have him as my quarterback.
Yeah, I'd take him as my quarterback, too. And I've got Caleb Williams. I would take Jalen Hurts over Caleb Williams.
I got Daniel Jones, MVP.
Yeah, you do. All right, we have a great buy or sell coming up for you. Headlines from all the topics we haven't gotten to, and a take on each one next year on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
There's the old, what is it? You put a, and you shouldn't do this, it's cruel and awful, but you put a frog in a boiling pot of water, the frog will screech and jump out. If you put a frog, you know this sort of analogy, if you put a frog in a thing of water and you slowly turn the heat up, it will allow itself to be gruesomely boiled to death because it doesn't recognize, you never heard this? It doesn't recognize the heat being increased. That's where I feel like we are with Bill Belichick. We are boiling from the stupidity of where his career has gone, but none of us realize it because it's happened incrementally. That was my big revelation.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
You like that one too, huh? I'm always curious what you guys pick as the rejoins.
That was interesting. It was quite the analogy. I've never heard of that before.
You're not afraid to go long on the rejoin either. And I respect the hell out of that.
I would provide proper context, not just we're talking about boiling frogs here for no reason, you know?
Right. What's going on with what is he talking about? I had boiling frogs yesterday. I had frogs falling from the sky as a legitimate excuse for the Bengals today, right? I think that was a...
And maybe to finish off tomorrow, you have frog legs for dinner. Why not?
I used to eat frog legs for dinner.
Okay.
Yeah, they're good. This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
I got one for you. It's sort of an accidentally generated listener buy or sell question. Okay? Trevor in Toronto gave me a perspective. I found it very funny. I'm going to read it, and I want you to buy or sell whether you think he's right or not. So we're going to buy or sell whether Trevor in Toronto is accurate here. Ready? Sports writer, that's me. I think teaming up with Hickey on this pickleball tournament is not going to end well. There is no way a guy can have exceptional DJ skills and be proficient at pickling a ball. Combine that with Ryder's competitiveness and the honeymoon is over.
Sell.
I don't mean the shot at you so much as do you think this would end the honeymoon?
No. Because I feel like I'm also very competitive myself. And I think... I mean, without knowing, I would assume we could play well together and do enough to win. And I don't think the suckers that would be in this thing would be able, would know what hit them.
There was a time, now I'm a little too old for this now, but there was injury prone. There was a time 5 or 6 years ago where I was trying to get a 2-on-2 basketball tournament going.
Here?
And I had every, this was when Tiki and Brandon were on the air together. I had every confidence I was going to win. I needed to find the right partner, but I had every confidence I was going to win that thing. Brandon and Tiki might have been tricky. But I'm not sure Tiki's a basketball player.
That's the thing. It takes... Okay, so I just looked it up, by the way. Okay. The tournament, sponsored by our sister station, 1010 Wins,
yeah.
It's on October 11th. Is that good or bad for you?
That's not... I'm going to be flying back from a trip with my wife for our anniversary.
How about... It starts at 10... When does it start here?
At 10 in the morning? I will be flying over you at 10 in the morning. I'll be flying over New York City.
Maybe a little quick pit stop? Win the tournament and just finish the way back? Okay, well,
how about this?
We'll table that.
Next time I come to New York and have some time to plan it, we'll try to get just a... The thing is, I would try to plan an Infinity Sports Network pickleball tournament, but I'm not sure people would show up.
I don't think so. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, okay.
No disrespect to any people or many athletes around here.
Although I would be worried about Pat Boyle and the other guy he works with. Like, I mean, what a duo. That was sarcasm.
I was going to say.
Pat would be good. Pat would be good.
I think he'd be carrying a lot of the weight there.
Pat's an athlete.
Pat's an athlete.
In his own mind, and I think probably in reality, too.
Probably.
Did he play baseball in college?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he's a real athlete.
Real athlete.
And he's left-handed like I am, and that makes, you know, you better at everything.
Of course, right.
Buy or sell, lefties are better.
Buy.
I'm half including myself in that. I'm like half lefty.
Really, how so?
I swing like a bat lefty.
Do you?
I play hockey lefty. I golf lefty.
Oh, yeah, me too. So then it is a huge advantage in sports.
But I do right righty, so it's kind of half and half.
But you do the important stuff.
Right.
Lefty.
Right, exactly right. That's all that matters. So I'm in this, and you're right. Lefties are better. That is absolutely right. What's not better, unfortunately, is Tyreek Hill's injury situation, Bills. You started on a gruesome note here, but he did suffer an awful knee injury in the third quarter. The Dolphins win over the Jets. And according to early reports, the All-Pro dislocated his kneecap and tore multiple ligaments in his knee, including his ACL. He is scheduled to have surgery later today. Hill, when you look at his future, does have one more year left on his contract with the Dolphins, but none of that money is guaranteed. Buy or sell, Bill, we have seen the last of Tyreek Hill in a Dolphins uniform.
I'm going to answer that question, then give you a question. I will sell.
Sell.
And I think this is brutal for them on so many levels because I think when they fire Mike McDaniel, right? I think when he gets fired, it's a teardown. It's a start over. And I know they're tied to Tua, but I think Tyreek would have been, buy or sell, you agree there would have been some value for a Tyreek Hill if they decided to move off from him in this offseason.
Buy.
Yeah. That's gone now. Let me ask you a difficult question, and I'll answer it too. Buy or sell, you think we've seen the last of Tyreek Hill as a top 15 receiver in the NFL?
Buy.
I do too. You know, I don't know what his ambitions are to play if he can't play at the level that he did, but this is the kind of injury and the severity of the injury and the way that he plays and the position he plays and the age that he's at, 32, as you pointed out, before the next season starts, that it is going to be, I think, career-altering and or career-ending. It's awful. I feel bad for the guy.
It is awful. You're right about that. Going back to Sunday, Bill, Bears head coach... Oh, my God. I forgot his name for a second. Ben Johnson.
Okay. I didn't know if... What was going? If you're okay, if you have a little moment.
I had just a total brain fart there. Wow. My apologies. Ben Johnson had a chippy exchange with CBS sideline reporter Aditi Kinkabwala coming out of the halftime show during Sunday's game against the Raiders. Take a listen to the Bears head coach.
Your offense has struggled to take advantage of those takeaways.
Yeah.
Okay, so what did you tell them to get things going?
That it wasn't our brand of football. We're capable of a lot more, and so we're hitting the reset button here at halftime, and we're going to come back and establish our identity here in the second half.
So you need to change what you're doing.
I don't know. You think so? We're going to be just fine.
So after that, Bill, yesterday he met the media again and addressed his tone and shared a little bit of regret of how he handled the halftime interview.
In the moment, I honestly didn't think too much of it. I'm kind of in game mode. But then when I look back at it, you know, I am a little bit disappointed with what that looks like. You know, I didn't hear very well, and that's not an excuse. But when I thought I heard that... not a question, but that I needed to make some changes. I didn't take that very well, so I'll do a better job with those going forward.
Buy or sell, you have an issue with how Ben Johnson handled the halftime interview.
So, I definitely grimace, right? So I'm going to sell, but I'm going to explain.
Sell.
I do understand. Look, I think he's wrong, and I think the way he spoke to her wasn't acceptable. That said, I think you get one, right? Like, I think you get one. You're a new head coach. You're over your skis a little bit. You're trying to sort of get your footing. Things aren't going well. You're competitive. You're pissed off. You have to learn when you're doing a live thing in the middle of a game where you're still competing, how to respond. And I don't you think he misheard her? She wasn't insulting him. I think he just misheard, and it's loud. I think he heard it as a statement and not a question. So don't have a problem with it because he gets one, right? He gets one. But if this is actually who he is and not just a mistake and not really used to doing these things, then I will reverse my opinion. If he becomes Greg Popovich to the NFL, I will reverse my opinion.
All righty. Eagles receiver A.J. Brown, Bill, has been, for the most part, invisible this season. Just 14 catches for 151 yards and one touchdown so far through the first four games. The Mercurial receiver posted a Bible verse on social media after Sunday's win of the Buccaneers that read, quote, "If you're not welcomed, not listened to, quietly withdraw, don't make a scene, shrug your shoulders, and be on your way," end quote. The Eagles so far this season are 31st in the NFL in passing offense. Buy or sell? The Eagles should consider trading A.J. Brown at the deadline.
Yeah, bye. Yes.
Bye.
I don't want a malcontent on my football team. I mean, look, I think that these things aren't binary. They should consider trading him while they speak to him and try to really ascertain if he's going to be a problem or an issue. We know he's talented, and we know he can be difficult. Are those fair? I think those are two very fair conclusions about who he is. And the thing is, you are the defending champions. Chemistry matters. Get along, people. Nobody knows better, as an organization in this century in the National Football League, the importance of your receiver getting along with your quarterback and how that can cost you. Ask poor Donovan McNabb. So, I'm not saying it's that level, but once you start publicly complaining, even if that's the area we're in with social media, and there's issues and there's problems, and you have the coach saying, you know, we want to be involved, yes, you have to ascertain whether you can manage this, and if you can't, move on from the guy. He'll go, but the problem is, you know who would want him? And they wouldn't trade him to this team, but you know who would immediately take him? The Chiefs, because Andy Reid doesn't care about any of that. He somehow, and there's a criticism of Andy Reid, and I like Andy Reid a lot. He just doesn't, character, problems, whatever. Come, you're talented, come on in.
They're like the new version of the Patriots, right? Who took plenty of troubled players to New England when they were winning. Win with them for a little bit, move on, and go your merry way. Let's talk about basketball, Bill. How about this?
Okay.
Kawhi Leonard broke his silence. He spoke for the first time since allegations of his no-show deal with Aspiration and potential salary cap circumvention were published by Pablo Torre. Let's take a listen to what Kawhi had to say.
None of us did no wrongdoing. I mean, that's it.
What is your understanding of the endorsement deal that you had with the company that was this being talked to Aspiration, and did you perform any services for them?
I understand that full contract and the services that I had to do. Like I said, I don't deal with the conspiracies or the clickbait analysts or journalism that's going on.
The allegation was that you didn't perform any services for them. Is that accurate, or did you do things for them?
I don't think it's accurate, but it's old. This is all new to you guys. The company went bankrupt a while ago, so we already knew this was going to happen. Company went belly up. It was frauded, as everybody knows. If you want any more questions or more details about that company, you need to ask the owner or whoever else is involved in the fraud that went on.
So buy or sell, Bill. You believe Kawhi Leonard that he did nothing wrong.
Sell. He doesn't answer the question. I mean, he was well coached, right? He had his talking points. But when your NBA All-Star starts talking like some politician who got caught doing something wrong, you know things aren't great. Well, you know, that was a long time ago. Not the revelation, and Pablo Torre's clickbait journalism. This just shows you, by the way, I'm going to get into this, that just because someone says something's clickbait journalism or fake news or not real doesn't mean it's actually so. I mean, give me a break. Interestingly, the guy that runs public relations for the Clippers lives in the house I used to live in. But he doesn't like me, never talks to me. I bet he's having a real fun. Buy or sell, he's having a great work stretch.
Buy.
Yeah. Buy or sell, you think I have any sympathy for that guy?
Sell.
Maybe bring a guy his mail. You know? What are you doing?
Oh, boy. Well, on the other side of LA, I guess things are not much better. As LeBron James, for the first time in his 8 years as a Laker, Bill, is entering the season on the final year of his deal. Yesterday, LeBron said the uncertainty about his future isn't something he's worried about and that he's super excited to play with Luka Doncic. Buy or sell? This will be LeBron's last year with the Lakers.
I think buy. I think it will be. I mean,
buy.
I am not 100% certain, right? This is not a certainty level that's absolute. Because LeBron lives in L.A. and he likes living here and he's got a really cool house and his family's settled and all that stuff. It doesn't seem to me, Ryan, that the Lakers are that interested in LeBron being around. And LeBron's a lot. I think he's worth it. I think he's complicated. LeBron's a lot. But he's not worth it the minute he's not worth it. And we're approaching, like, the minute he's not Tim Duncan, right? Where you're just like, well, he's not what he used to be, but it's great to have him in a locker room. He's not, I'm thinking of it, Gary Payton, who, okay, that's not the player that he used to be, but there's something he brings. Once LeBron James doesn't give you something on the floor, I don't think you want him as a part of your organization. And I think that there's probably going to be, from LeBron, because he's a competitive guy, some added frustration that he got JJ the job, and all of a sudden JJ is going to be like, yeah, I don't need you. So that could get toxic. So yes, I think it's likely this is the end, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's a Warrior. Buy or sell, you want to see LeBron be a Warrior with Steph?
Sell.
See, I don't either.
Honestly, because people talk about it so much, it drives you towards, like, I don't want to see it.
I don't want to see it either.
I don't know where he will end up, but not there. Not in Golden State.
Cleveland's a place he could go back to. I would not bring him back to Cleveland if I were the Cavs. But that's also a place. They have a championship-level team. I just, buy or sell, you believe LeBron James would ever be willing to be the sixth man of the year as a role? Like that guy.
Sell.
I agree. No chance.
I do think at 40, 41, 42, and he'll never do it, but I could be wrong. I think if he was willing to play 20 minutes a game coming off the bench, he could be really impactful. Like, his per 36-minute numbers, right, would be really high. And then you could sort of gear him up and play him more minutes in the playoffs in big moments. I just don't think he's willing to do that.
Definitely not. No. Let's finish here, Bill. MLB postseason starts today.
Let's
Your
go.
Cubbies are hosting the Padres.
Yep.
We have two divisional matchups here as the Tigers face the Guardians and the Yankees host the Red Sox. And then finally, out in L.A., Dodgers host the Reds in the wild card best of three matchups here this week to start the postseason. Buy or sell, the wild card round you are most intrigued by is Yankees-Red Sox.
Oh, sell.
Sell.
Buy or sell, you can guess the matchup I'm most intrigued by.
Buy.
I'm going to guess it's going to be Padres-Cubs.
By the way, yes, because I'm a Cubs fan. I also think it's a really interesting series. The Padres have been trying to get to the World Series and have invested money for a long time now. And if you lose to the Cubs, who, by the way, I think are on the uptick a little bit, and obviously this season suggests that. Last year, the Cubs should have made the playoffs, had kind of a collapse. But still, this is the Padres window. The Kluger, who used to produce the show, is, you know, program director of the Padres radio network. He's told me this is, you know, they're really good. Let's see. Let's find out.
You guys have a friendly wager on this series?
No.
Oh.
I don't bet on the Cubs.
Smart man.
Not the hard way. My heart's are. I mean, do you bet on Penn State?
No, I do not.
Yeah, right.
Can't add insult to injury.
Right, 100%. Yep. Oh, is that it? We're done?
That was it. Figured it ended
that
on
went
a good
really
note
long.
Like
I blame
that.
You for going so long. Not me.
Blame accepted, I guess.
I don't blame you. I blame me for doubting Aaron Rodgers. I will do my mea culpa. Many of you have been asking for it about Aaron Rodgers and the Jets after we get a Sports Slash from Andrew Bogish.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Bill, your Sports Flash is sponsored by Prize Picks. Football's heating up, and so is the hard-hitting action on Prize Picks. Download Prize Picks and use code PRIMETIME and get $50 in bonus credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Agent Drew Rosenhaus posting a picture this morning of a smiling Tyreek Hill in a hospital bed after last night's major left knee injury. Nothing new from the Dolphins yet this morning, but there are reports that Hill tore multiple ligaments, including his ACL, on top of dislocating that knee. He's expected to undergo surgery today. The Broncos smothered the Bengals in last night's second game, 28-3. Cincinnati only had 159 yards of offense, just 9 first downs. They did not run a play in Denver territory after their first drive. Those Broncos got 326 yards passing, 3 total touchdowns from Bo Nix. Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell said this morning they hope J.J. McCarthy returns to practice later this week. That would be the next step in his recovery from his high ankle sprain. And the Minnesota Wild have signed winger Kapril Kaprizov to the richest deal in NHL history. 8 years, $136 million. I'm Andrew Bogish.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. A Georgia head coach, Kirby Smart, was on the defensive after falling to Alabama yet again on Saturday night, 24-21 this time. The loss not only ended a 33-game home winning streak, but it also dropped Kirby to 1-7 against his former employer. And after the game, he said he's not fazed by constantly losing to the Crimson Tide.
What's everybody else's record against them? You got it? I don't either. I don't lose sleep over that, because those games have been like championship caliber games, right? And even when we play in the regular season, they've been. I just saw 25 scouts out there. They're all there to watch these teams play. So that's not going to affect me. Like I'm going to be happy and just go lucky if our team comes back and plays well. That's what I worry about.
Do him and Dabo have the same PR person? Is this, I mean, is there, maybe, wait, because there's 25 scouts, it's cool that you can't beat Alabama? On the one hand, we can't beat Alabama, and we're never going to. On the other hand, I saw some scouts, so that was cool. What are you talking about, dude? What does that have to do with anything? I mean, look, we lost 83-0 to Alabama. I understand that, but I had a really good chicken salad this morning. What, huh? I'm going to sleep fine. Am I being too hard on Kirby? What are you doing?
You know,
beat up 1-7. Everybody's 1-7 against Alabama. What's everybody's record? I don't think. I mean, that's not. You're Georgia. So you're everybody now. You're everybody else now. You're just everybody else. Okay, got it. Great standard. What's Vanderbilt's record? Who cares? Ridiculoso.
You know who he kind of sounds like a little bit? Hate to say it.
Who?
James Franklin. He'd give a similar answer.
He does.
Maybe Dabo.
But at least Kirby's won something.
Franklin, that like confirm. Okay, what's the message here? How do we spin this? What's everyone else's record?
At least Kirby's won something.
Yeah?
And it's still obnoxious. All right, speaking of obnoxious, and you know, Titus is, yeah, I hear you. I hear you, pal. Thanks for listening. I don't know that Aaron Rodgers has set the world on fire with this play, all right? And the Steelers have not exactly won. You know what? I'm not even going to do that. The Jets made a choice to move on from Aaron Rodgers. I thought it was the right decision. They thought it was the right decision. They are 0-4, and the Steelers are 3-1. And somebody the other day, it might have been, was it Titus? Who the other day said, brought up the Parcells, you are what your record says? It was Brady Pupinga. Brady Pupinga said, I don't like that expression, you're not what your record says you are. But I'm going to respectfully disagree. You are what your record says you are. Now, that can change. Your record can evolve. It's a moving target in the National Football League. But right now, the Steelers are 3-1, and the Jets are 0-1. Oh, my God, we can't win 4. And that is the reality. And Aaron Rodgers wins. It's a quarter way of the season. It's not over yet. But so far, Aaron Rodgers better than sign the New York Jets. And credit to him. He picked the right place. They're winning football games. And not only that, they're winning football games, and again, long season, in a division where Burrow's gone, and Lamar and those guys can barely win a game. So while I think that's still a very competitive division if the Ravens can just get their you-know-what together, credit the Steelers for proving all of us wrong so far, including certainly me. I've been a loud and boisterous Aaron Rodgers is not worth it guy. And there is time for that to be true, but it's not true so far. So credit to Aaron Rodgers. Credit to that guy. And the Jets are still the Jets. What's been a better organization for the last 3 years? The Colts or the Jets?
Oh. I mean, it's the Colts.
Is it?
Yes, I think so.
Their quarterback of the future isn't the quarterback of the future, though.
But they did not let that one decision take them down the way that missing on a quarterback has taken down the Jets every single year.
It is crazy to me how bad the New York football teams are. Being in New York doesn't guarantee you success the way that it does in baseball, and to a lesser degree can help you in the NBA. But I mean, come on, you're New York City. You're the biggest, most vibrant city in America and one of the most incredible cities in the world. You have two football teams. You can't field one football team that's any good. You can't find one between the two of you, one GM who could just make the right decisions?
I don't know how I feel about this. I would argue the Giants have been more of an embarrassment than the Jets even over the last few years.
I'm not. I mean, it's trying to, you know, take two morons and have an idiot contest. And yeah, okay. Congratulations.
You both wink.
This other guy won, so you're, it doesn't make you smart. You're still a moron. You're in the competition. But way to go. Good job. Thank you, as always, to Ty Dunn. He's great. He really is. GoLongTD.com is the spot. And look, I get it. Nobody wants to throw their money away. And so if you're not interested, fine. But if you do pay for content, GoLongTD.com is really good. It's really good stuff. And I would suggest it as something that you take seriously. Also, you can just go and you can subscribe for free. GoLongTD.com. Thank you to Andrew Bogish for his great work, as always, on the updates and for his patience, because we went a little long today and nobody's to blame. Ryan is. No one is to blame for that. And that's my fault. I kept talking. And thank you, Ryan Hickey. Great work, man. I mean, you're bum of the week this week. It's a lock.
I don't. I mean,
it's a lock.
I mean, the Bengals. You see the Bengals last night?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I was really frustrated because I thought they had a lot of candidates. If you hadn't just, you know, taken it,
they had more penalties than first downs. That is, I think, way worse than doing bum of the week secondary to what you did.
Why don't you go and listen to the Thursday bum of the week and just clip the part where I say I want to play tomorrow? If you do this, you're bum of the week. Maybe it's not there. Maybe I misremembered. Maybe I'm off.
Maybe the audio just somehow disappeared. I don't know.
Be fun to hear. That was an audacious show. I enjoyed it. All right. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you. I'm Bill Ryder, and we'll see you back here tomorrow on Ryder Than You.